Kings back home tonight at the Golden 1 Center, and what a triumphant homecoming it will be after Friday night. Kyle Draper had the call. Kyle, what happened? Where did that come from?
Hey, our boy Money Malik Monk.
Yeah.
Yes, came alive, and it all happened because of that Rudy Gobert shove. Did you see that?
Yes.
Gobert had the
sure.
big dunk, running back down the floor, gave my boy Malik a little shoulder shove, and after that, Malik said, game on. And that dude hopped in the phone booth, switched on the Superman cape, and came out and rescued the Kings.
Yeah, and you and Katie were on that right after it happened.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Katie especially said, that's a guy you don't want to shove on
right.
this team.
Exactly. And, you know, it's like you got to let sleeping dogs lie. You know, Malik just having a so-so game, not really having a major impact. And then, bam, after that, I'm trying to think of who he looked like. He looked like LeBron back in 2012 against the Celtics when he dropped 45 at the Garden. He looked like a man possessed, and it was no being denied.
There was just so many times in that game where it looked like, they almost won. They had their chance. Right. But, you know, like when Malik missed the shot at the end of regulation,
yes.
like, wow, you're going to wish you had that one back. Didn't matter. When Sabonis fouls out. So many times
yes.
when it's like, oh, that might be it. And it wasn't. And they just took care of business. Incredible.
You're right about that Malik possession to, you know, potentially win the game. I was like, what was that? Like,
yeah.
it was
and
like.
And then they also left Minnesota time.
Minnesota had a chance. And I'm like, man, you played so well. You got it back in this game. You know, you're about to get this win. And sure enough, you know, the game kept going. And even to start overtime. Kings picked up a couple
right.
of quick fouls,
right.
and I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just
want
to send these guys to the line. But, man, give credit to Malik, Davion, all the guys, really. Like, I thought everybody had their moments. Even Trey Lyles with some big rebounds and big defensive plays. I thought everybody contributed the other night.
Yeah, and you gave us a little bit of an inkling of what might have been going on when you guys left
Denver,
right?
Yes.
It's like, well, they had an extra long team meet. No, you just said the film session.
Film
yeah.
session, right.
And you kind of, the way you said it's like, it was extra long. You're kind of implying that something's going on there.
Yeah.
It turns out big team meeting, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, it's about time, you know, because, and Mike Brown talked about it, you know, the players got to take some ownership. Like, at some point, the players have to look at each other and say, what the heck is going on? We need to be better. And so, by, you know, all accounts, this was their first team meeting. You know, I've been on the road with these guys. It's never been like this. And that hour and a half long film session, to me, was the signal. Like, I've been in film sessions.
Yeah, yeah.
20 minutes, half hour at the most, not an hour and a half. And but you know, Whitey, and I want to give the guys some credit, because you hear teams have, we're going to have a team meeting, players-only meeting, and it doesn't change anything. It looked like that players-only meeting, we saw it manifest itself on the floor Friday against Minnesota.
I think the Kings, they broke one of the cardinal rules of team meetings to me, which is when you call a team meeting, you want to make sure you're probably going to win the next game. So to do that in Minnesota,
right.
that was bold. Obviously, came through. They won that game in Minnesota. But to me, you always want to be careful.
Yeah.
You know, those are big deals. If you have a team meeting and everyone's like, all right, let's lay it all out there how we're feeling. Then you go out and you get mollywopped. It's like you almost go backwards.
Right.
So that was bold.
What do you do then?
Yeah,
right.
Like,
right.
We got nothing
another
now.
Another team meeting?
Yeah.
Like, yes. And so to do what they did without De'Aaron Fox, and I know Anthony Edwards didn't play in the second half. You know, we understand that. But we didn't have our guy the whole game, De'Aaron Fox. And we've talked about who's going to get a bucket. When the system breaks down, who's going to step up? Well, Malik Monk has shown the ability to be that guy. And we've seen it from time to time. The Lakers game, Clippers last year, 176-175, and then Friday against Minnesota, where Malik can take over a game. Think about this. You had Karl-Anthony Towns.
Mm-hmm.
You had half of Anthony Edwards. Yeah, Rudy Gobert, but Malik Monk was the best player on the court that day.
And it wasn't even close, was it?
Not even close.
You know who else was great in that game? And it got lost, obviously, in Malik's great game. But how about Davion Mitchell, the game he had?
Yes, my guy, Davion Mitchell.
7 of 8, got to the basket.
Hit his first
at will.
Shots. And that's what he has to do, though. Like, he can't defer or be scared or, you know, unwilling to shoot. Like, and you know, I'll talk about this coming up in just a little bit, but give Mike Brown credit, too. I thought Keon set the tone early with his defense early. He picked up some fouls, but that allowed Davion to go back to his natural spot. And that showed me he did it against Minnesota. This wasn't against Charlotte. He did it on the road in Minnesota. And so far as I'm concerned, Davion, I know you're listening right now, getting ready for tonight's game. I know you're chiming in, checking us out. But we need to see this, Davion. Like, when you look at some of the best teams in the NBA, the backup point guard position is key. And I know Malik serves that role, but Davion could do that also. You know, I look at Memphis when Tyus Jones was there and John Morant was running the one. Tyus Jones had an impact, even though he was the backup point guard, led the league multiple years and assist to turnover. Just a really – I want Davion Mitchell, people to look at him and say, man, he'd start on 20 other teams or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you draft a guy, a lottery pick number 9, you expect that out of him.
I was saying last week that when the Kings aren't playing well, there's so many guys on the bench that – Coach Brown has to make a choice on, and it's a matter of, do I want offense or defense?
Right.
So many guys, when they're not playing well, it's like, that guy doesn't bring me much offense. I know he defends. Davion's been one of those guys at times, but he's also shown this year he's kind of had some bust-out moments offensively. Then you got a real asset on your hands when
he's
scoring, too.
If he can score the basketball, and we're not saying go to get 20 a night, give me 10 a night. I'll take 10 a night, Davion. Knock down a couple of threes, and because we know about his defense, and you know, I look at a guy like Kevin Huerter, let's say. The reason, like, Kevin Huerter would have still been starting back in the day if he would have knocked down shots. If you're knocking down shots and play a modicum of defense, just a, you know,
there's a spot for you.
Spot for you. And the issue with Davion is he hasn't been giving you that offense of push that you need. And he did the other night, though.
I think there's two great things about that win in Minnesota. What do you think? One is when you win a game like that, it's like you make up for one of the games earlier in the year that you kicked.
I give you that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you want to win every game.
Yep.
But when you win a game like that, especially without your best player playing the top seed in the West, it makes up at least somewhat for one of those, you know, we don't have to go over the list again, but one of those losses where it's like, what happened? And then the other thing is obviously right now, given that you won that game and then Phoenix lost last night.
Yes.
Right now the Kings are 6. They floated back to the 6th spot.
I love it. I mean, everybody went down last night. Phoenix went down. Lakers went down.
Dallas went down.
Golden State went down in Boston. It was a perfect Sunday, a perfect weekend for the Sacramento Kings. Imagine just being able to win on Friday, put your feet up, chill, sit back, spend time with your family, wake up Monday. Oh, we're 6 in the standings. It was a great weekend for Sacramento.
Well, Drapes, what happened to your Warriors yesterday? That was amazing.
I didn't get to watch it, but my son, who's a huge Celtics fan, we're driving, and got it on his phone, and Dad, it's 44-22 at the end of one. I'm like, yes. Like, it was beautiful to see, and I understand the Warriors were shorthanded, but the Celtics didn't even have Kristaps Porzingis. And how about the defense, the defensive game plan on Jaylen Brown? Did you hear what they said afterwards?
I saw it.
You saw it.
Like, what are they doing? Yeah, Jaylen Brown would be out on the perimeter, and Draymond Green's like, I'm not guarding.
Yeah.
Like, that was their strategy.
What are we doing? I don't want to say that's a fireable offense, Steve Kerr. Great coach. Got the extension.
Western Conference coach of the
month. Western Conference coach of the month.
Month? Whatever.
Month? Month, I think it is. But what is that? Like, that's Jaylen Brown. That's an all-NBA performer. That's like saying, you know what? And you know how it is. In today's NBA, if a guy has a wide-open three, like, God, that's so disrespectful. And the Warriors got embarrassed on national TV, and Steph was a non-factor. And so I don't know if it says as much about, man, the Celtics are great, because I think they are, but the Warriors aren't the Warriors. Like, everybody's like, oh, they're back. Watch out.
Yeah.
No. Like, their schedule's been light, far as I'm concerned. They've benefited from other teams being injured. And so that was nice to see.
Like. Yeah, don't want to slight Coach Kerr. You're right, he was a coach of the month for February. But yesterday, it looked like, Kyle, the Warriors went into that game thinking, this is the end of a long trip for us.
Yeah.
We probably don't have much of a chance anyway. So, you know what? Let's try something crazy. We're not going to guard Jaylen Brown. And if that gets in his head a little bit, it disrupts their offense, and then we're in the game. And instead, Jaylen Brown looked at that and said, what are you doing?
Okay.
And the Warriors got
disemboweled.
It was like, you know, I wanted to see a somewhat close game. Yeah. I recognize this is a tall task for the Warriors, but it's like, oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable. Like, I get it. Long road trip, end of the road trip. Now, if you want to sag off Derek White, make him a shooter, I get it. Even Drew Holiday. But Jaylen freaking Brown, like, what?
And they stuck with it. That's the other thing.
Right.
You'd think after, you know, a couple minutes when he's destroying you, you go, all right, that's not working. But no, they doubled down on it. So, anyway, yeah, bottom line, as you say, the Kings rising up those Western Conference standings.
You buying right now? You chips all in on the
game?
We got to wait till tonight. We got to wait to see what happens. That's the thing. I don't know what I'm going to see tonight.
Yeah.
You think riding high, team meeting, De'Aaron Fox hopefully back tonight, went through practice yesterday, shoot around today. You would think they would win tonight.
He's got to be back, right? I mean, I'm not implying that he's – you know, jaking it or something if he doesn't play. But my point is, if he went through practice and he went through shoot around.
That's the thing. Went through practice yesterday. Apparently, came out of it okay.
Yeah.
Okay enough
yeah.
to do shoot around today. So, yes, in my opinion, he has to be. He spoke to the media as well yesterday.
Right.
Usually, when a guy is out with an injury or something, you don't really have him talk to the media. So, that's an encouraging sign.
Yeah. And then we also found out, speaking to the players, media talking to the players, that Trey Lyles was the one who called that team meeting. Does that surprise you at all?
Not at all. Not at all. Because Trey is.
I thought you were the one that called it. So
no, I do. Trust me. I was looking at Mike Brown like, Mike, call me up. Let me say a few things to the team. Seriously, like you gotta, you know, have some cojones out there. But here's the thing we know about Trey. He's quiet. I get it. You know, you don't see. But there's a fire burning under him. You know, we saw it last year against Milwaukee when him and Lopez got into it. Trey Lyles. You talk to the players behind the scenes, he's a jokester. He's a, you know, he's more vocal than what we see on the court. And I'm glad it was him, to be honest with you, because I think, let's say if Malik called it. Well, Malik's always talking. He's always, you know, Trey Lyles is kind of quiet, you know, cerebral about the way he plays. And if Trey Lyles speaks, then that carries some weight, kind of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm happy he did that.
This team, man, how do you win at Minnesota when you go 13 for 24 at the foul line?
Why you got to bring up bad stuff? Why you got to bring up?
Well, I'm just pointing out this team is you just can't figure them out.
You really can't. And our boy Malik Monk,
I know,
missed too late, and I'm like, what? Domas, I think missed a few, and so it's it's head scratch.
It's a W,
right?
It's
a W. And I think we're at the point of this season, Whitey, when you're, you know, what, 58 games in or whatever it is, we just got to be like, you know what, a win is a win.
Yep.
Take the wins however you can get them, especially in a stacked Western Conference.
Drape's takes are coming up when we come right back to the Golden One Center to Drive Guys. Happy Monday, if there is such a thing, on Sacktown Sports. Woo! Got the Kings and the Bulls tonight. Easy win, right? Yeah, I hope. Drape's takes coming up in just a moment. First, I want to mention, have you ever had to do anything for sleep apnea? Have you ever had any treatment for that? Last night I had to, my wife says that I stop breathing when I'm sleeping. I think I'm fine. But anyway, last night I went through the test thing.
Yeah.
So I'm hooked up. I got the thing on my finger and I got the thing around my chest and I got the thing in my nose. It's like, it's hard to sleep that way.
No, I've not. No, that's
just
how'd
the
it
test.
Go? How'd it go?
I think it was fine. Yeah.
Other than the results yet?
I thought I'll have to do it one night, right? That we recommend you do it three nights. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
That's tough. You gotta lay on your back kind of thing, or
I laid on my side, but yeah, can you imagine if you try to roll over, it's like
you got
wires all over the place.
Whitey, I did it a couple like a year and a half or so ago. Same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I only did it once, though. They only asked me to do it once, and I was good. So three times, that's a lot there, brother.
Yeah. I think I may just send send it back, send the kit back, say, I can only do it once.
Right.
Because I think I aced it. So
you passed the test.
I don't know, but.
Flying colors.
Yeah. Sorry, I can't do any more. Anyway, that brings us to Drapes Takes.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
JJ, hold up. Hold up. Cut the music. I'm not ready for Drapes Takes yet. I'm not ready.
Uh-oh.
I'm upset. This should be a happy Monday.
Yes.
We got a big game today.
Yes.
We're coming off a major win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. It should be sunshine and rainbows today, right?
Yes.
Everybody should be happy.
Yes.
All the callers on the text line,
cheerful,
and YouTube, everybody should be happy. Well, what happens when I look at the text
line? Oh, no.
916-339-1140. Let me just read this before I get to Drapes Takes. And this is the kind of stuff I don't need from Kings fans today. I'm talking about sunshine and rainbows, lollipops.
Yes.
I got a good parking spot downstairs. I like my outfit today. So I'm flying
this
high right now.
This is a day to celebrate.
But this Yahoo on the text line. Okay, so Monk had a fabulous second half, but let's be real. That was the worst play and such a terrible shot at end of regulation. Bad coaching? ? Selfish play? All I know is that's not winning basketball. That's from Folsom Mike. He put his name on it.
Thank you for putting your name on it.
Can I just say, and Folsom Mike, I appreciate you listening, but you come into the wrong place with that slander. At least wait till the third hour to come with that. How are you going to start off the show with that, Whitey? How the first text we get is going to be Folsom Mike, well, Mike Brown, bad coaching. Like, that is so up. Kings fans, what are we doing? And I know it's not all of you. It's this one guy. But what, Whitey, what are we?
I think it's there's a Kings fan there.
What's going on in his life at home?
He's afraid to let his guard down. This team will do that to you, you know? It's like, everything's fine. Everything's terrible. Everything's fine. Everything's great. And it's Folsom Mike saw that everything's great, but there's part of him like, I'm not buying it. I don't believe it.
He said bad coaching ?
That's the thing.
Selfish play. All I know is that's not winning basketball. Guess what, Folsom Mike? They won the game.
Yeah.
Apparently it is winning basketball. You won the game. You played a game to win.
May I address one thing here before? Because I know I have Drapes Takes coming up. Here's the deal. Bad coaching on that last possession. Malik Monk was getting whatever he wanted. The play was, now they didn't draw anything up. That's true. But it was Malik. You're going to get a switch. You're going to get a big on you. Score. And Malik didn't make a very good play. He got the switch.
Right.
That's what the play was. That's how they set it up. So Coach Brown got what he wanted.
Right.
You could argue Malik should have done something different, maybe drive to the basket.
Yeah.
But it wasn't coaching was not to blame there. And you know what? It didn't matter because they won the freaking game.
Exactly. And so that brings me, Jay, to my first Drapes Takes. Please run the music.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down.
Got me upset.
Take it
You're
easy,
right? Blood
Just
pressure.
Take
up.
It easy.
Blood pressure.
Can you continue?
Yes, I can.
All right.
Because I'm going to give some love to my guy, Mike Brown, right off the jump. Folsom Mike, I thought Mike Brown made a brilliant coaching move inserting Keon Ellis into the starting lineup. I thought Keon's energy to start that game on the defensive end, sure, he picked up some fouls, but I thought that was critical in this game. And the point guard spot, I'm talking about Keon and Davion Mitchell, was a strength. Those two guys outplayed Mike Conley. So I thought Mike Brown's decision to go with Keon and still bring Davion off the bench was critical.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And how about, tip of the cap to Keon Ellis, too. Well, those guys like, you're not playing, you're not playing, you're not playing, you're not playing. You're starting against Minnesota, and he came through.
He came through in a big way. He had four steals in that game, Whitey, I believe it was.
He was the defense player of the game, right?
Yes. He was defense because he set the tone out there. And you saw, they had the team meeting. You saw the sense of urgency. You know, a lot of times we talk about the head of the snake and who's the tone setter, who's the leader. I thought Keon and his energy in that game was huge for the Sacramento Kings. Also, I'll give some love to my guy Davion Mitchell while we're talking about it right here. I mean, to play 25 minutes and change and make your first seven shots, he scored 16 points. I thought that was massive in this game, and I'd like to see more of that from Davion.
Yeah, they don't win that game without Davion Mitchell going 7 for 8. And again, we haven't seen him get to the basket that much, drive and take the ball to the hoop. And it was successful.
It was very successful. Also want to give a shout-out to my guy, Domantas Sabonis. Remember, I told you, every Drapes take, I'm going to mention Domantas Sabonis.
Yes,
because we got to give this guy his flowers. What's interesting,
because no one else is going to.
Nobody else is doing. Remember, I got an email during the pregame show from some lady saying, how come you guys don't talk about Domantas Sabonis? I met that lady at the game here in Sacramento last week. She said, Kyle, I'm the lady that emailed you. So I said, you know what? Every time Domantas Sabonis plays, we got to give him his flowers. He's battling Rudy Gobert. He's battling Karl Anthony Towns. He's battling Naz Reid. 21 points, 15 rebounds. Mm-hmm. This guy brings it every single night. And he gets hit in the man region during the game. Remember that?
Well, it's like Chris Watkins said on Twitter, he got hit right in the Sabonis.
Sabonis.
Yeah.
He went out, but they came back and put in work.
That was a bad one, too.
It was a bad one. I felt that one, too.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to address it on air because, you know, like my Adam's apple started moving up in my throat. Like, it was like I couldn't breathe. I was choking there after I saw my guy get hit. So give Domantas Sabonis a lot of credit.
Yeah, he sets the tone for this team in terms of courage and grit every single night.
My last Drapes take, and it's not about Malik Monk. Malik's going to get most of the show. We're going to talk about him. You guys are going to call in about him. You're going to give him a love. Even people on the text line right now saying, Malik Monk for sixth man of the year. I'm with you. He rubber stamped that. But is Rudy Gobert maybe the most unlikable player in the NBA? He's got to be up there. He good player, future Hall of Famer, maybe defensive player of the year once again. I don't know. But him flexing and begging for fouls and acting like some big tough guy, I was over that. Like, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He missed the dunk. He thinks he should have got fouled. Comes back and dunks on Malik Monk or somebody, you know, like a smaller guy, and then flexes. Dude, come on with that. How come you didn't do that against Sabonis? You know, Rudy Gobert, and I've defended him. He's sort of been an unlikable character in the NBA ever since COVID, you know, that whole situation. And I've defended him. But he irked me the other day. I'm like, you're not no tough guy. Don't try flexing on my guy Malik Monk. You're not about that. That's not you.
Yeah, the guys that are tough guys that aren't popular, like I know you like Dylan Brooks, Marcus Smart, they're not overly popular in other cities, but they are what they are. Rudy Gobert, it seems a little disingenuous. Like, Rudy Gobert is trying to show us that he's something that he really isn't.
Right,
right. That's what it seems like.
Just play your ball. And maybe he needs to do that for himself or, so you know, to get himself excited, jacked up. He had a nice game. But, man, that tough guy stuff, I'm not with. I got a bonus Drapes take, though, real quick.
All right.
For the YouTube chat, I see you out there.
They all want to know if you have a new wallet.
Compio, Ryan Williams, all right. I do not have a new wallet. I have not had the time to go.
Does Kyle have a trucker wallet with a chain on it that connects to his belt?
Dude, leave my wallet alone. I need one. Can somebody want to, you want to send one into the station? You know, look up the station's website, the address.
Got to be a wallet endorsement we can get for you.
Dude, who makes wallet? I don't even know a wallet manufacturer. Give me one name outside of like Calvin Klein or something like that who manufactures wallets.
Nerd wallet, but that's not even a wallet. That's not even a wallet.
Exactly. So I see you guys. No, I did not get a wallet yet. Quiet as it's kept, I've been driving around Sacramento without a driver's license also. So don't tell anybody.
It's not like anybody knows what kind of car you drive. Hi, Kyle Draper for my new Mercedes-Benz.
A short drive right down I-5. So, I had to go to Stockton yesterday, actually. They gave me a loaner car because I got a flat tire. Uh-oh. So they're changing that out for me. So.
Wow. Okay.
An unbelievable couple of weeks. Yeah.
Another nice car. No, I'm going on the road tomorrow. So I said, here, y'all keep my car for the week. I'll pick it up Thursday or Friday. I got a suite ride downstairs. I'm going to have to cut in a commercial just for that car, too.
So. Kang says my wallet is Fossil. Pretty nice. So there's a wallet maker. Fossil.
Fossil.
Yeah.
I thought they were watches back in like 30 years ago in the 90s.
No,
they still out there?
Isn't there a Fossil outlet store in
No way.
Yeah, Vacaville or somewhere.
Really?
I think.
Yeah, they're still alive.
I went there once.
Oh, my God. Fossil is still out there, huh?
I think so.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, they are. Ryan Williams Art. Draper, I'm coming to the game on Sunday. I ain't going to be here. I ain't trying to face you, man. This dude, he rides me so much.
Gonna
long as my daughter gets that A, I don't care, though. She best get the A in history. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Cutting to the chase here.
That's it.
All this good feeling. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Drape Steaks.
Yeah.
For good. For three. all this good feeling and everything and some of the ill will is behind us now. You got to win tonight, right? Right? Keep it going. Build on this. Not just for the sake of fans, but, you know, the playoffs. That was the whole point of that meeting. It's like, hello, we got to take care of things
now. I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe. You're not going to bamboozle me. On surface, yes. But this is a good team, Chicago. A talented team.
They don't have any of their guys.
What are you talking about? DeMar DeRozan? Kobe White went off at 35.
Williams is hurt and Levine is hurt.
But they still –
Caruso
is
hurt.
Out there. Vucevic,
mm-hmm.
former All-Star. Respect your opponent, White. That's the problem. I get it. That's the problem with the Kings season. We have not been respecting the opponents. And so hopefully the Kings come in with the mindset of respect
mm-hmm.
and get the win.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
But this – DeRozan could go off for 40 on you. You know, Kobe White, we saw it in Chicago.
DeRozan could be one of the most underrated players.
Yes.
Of all time, actually.
All time.
Yeah. We'll see what Stacey King, broadcaster with the Bulls, thinks about that. He joins us next year from the Golden 1 Center to Drive Guys on a glorious celebratory Monday. We're coming to you from the Golden 1 Center, where tonight the Kings, after Friday night's incredible win over Minnesota in overtime, we'll be taking on the Chicago Bulls. Drapes, you know, the Kings now, I believe they're, 4-1 in overtime games this year? How about that?
Yes, they are. Clutch moments, right? You know, and that's the thing, Whitey. It's like, don't get blown out. You know, you get to the last 2 minutes, you know, those are good things. Like, you could usually pull it out. It's been the double-digit losses that have harmed them mm-hmm. this season.
Yeah. Obviously, that's a surprise. Given the circumstances. So I want to ask you what surprised you the most about that. But first, why don't you bring on our special guest?
Got to bring on my guy. And everybody's like, Drapes, everybody's here. No, this is my guy. This is really my guy. Three-time NBA champ. 1989-90 all-rookie. Host of the Gimme the Sauce Hot Sauce podcast. Stacey King, former Chicago Bull. Joining the Drapes and Whitey Show, the Drive Guys here on Sactown Sports. What's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, Kyle? Thanks for having me on, bro.
Man, I'm excited for tonight's game. Here's the thing, Stacey. Everybody's excited about my Sacramento Kings coming off a big win. My partner over here is saying, you got to win tonight, right? The Bulls are shorthanded, right? I'm like, hold up now. You got to respect the opponent. Y'all still got DeMar. You still got Vucevic. Kobe White lit us up in Chicago. Handicap this game for me, man. What's going to be the key? What are you expecting tonight?
Well, I mean, we tend to play to the level of competition lately, you know, so the better the competition, the better we play. We went into New Orleans about a week ago and beat the Pelicans at home when everybody didn't think we were going to win. You know, we just came off a big win against Cleveland. And then, you know, we kind of turned around and, you know, got our butts handed to us. You know, so it's up and down for us right now. We got some guys out, key guys out, but, you know, they keep fighting. We're still in the play-in race right now, you know, trying to get to 500. So this is the start of our trip, you know, our West Coast trip. So we like to start off on a winning note.
Stacey, we know that Kings have been pushing tempo. I think they're 12th in the league, but they've been emphasizing getting out and running more and more and more. The Bulls, the numbers say they don't necessarily like to do that. So is that going to be potentially one of the keys tonight? Which team can control that pace?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, for us, you know, we're going to have to try to control the pace, not allow them to have easy runouts, get out in transition, try to limit our turnovers, that try to keep them from running because – you know, they thrive off that kind of play and, you know, getting quick shots from the opposition and then, you know, looking to push the ball up the floor with Fox and all the athletes that they've got. I think you also have to control Sabonis. Sabonis is, I consider, a poor man's Jokic. You know, they're able to run the offense through him. He's a good passer, good screener. He makes good decisions with the ball. And I think anytime you see him bring the ball up the floor, I know it's going to be tough for Vooch, but I think you got to put some pressure on him and make him get the ball out of his hands and let somebody else create for the Kings.
Our guy Stacey King joining us. You can check him out. Give me the Hot Sauce podcast. Stacey, Alex Caruso, man. You know, I know he's questionable with the hamstring tonight. He was a hot topic of discussion around the trade deadline. Talk to me about just the difference he makes for this team when he's playing versus not playing and his impact on the squad.
Oh, it's a huge loss for us when he's not on the floor. I mean, he's our best defender. He can guard anybody on the floor. And, you know, Billy tends to go with a small lineup on most nights, and he's asked to guard guys like Giannis and, you know, Julius Randle and some of the big guys. You know, he doesn't just guard guards. You know, he's the leader in block shots on our team from the guard position. He's an invaluable piece. That's why a lot of people were trying to go after him in the trade deadline, because this is a guy that could really strengthen your team. And if you're a team that, you know, wants to go deep in the playoffs, this is the kind of guy you need. You know, he's become a much better 3-point shooter than he was the year before or the last couple of years. You know, he can run the point guard, the two. He can guard anybody on the floor. And he's just like a coach on the floor. It's like having a middle linebacker, you know, who calls the defense. You know, he's the guy that really sets the tone. I always joke that there's five Carusos out there because he's everywhere on the court. Not only does he guard his man, but he's constantly covering up for mistakes from other people, and he's always in position to draw a charge or a steal. He's one of the best at deflections in the game as far as getting in the passing lanes and getting his hands on the basketball and creating havoc and turnover. So, you know, if he's not out there today, that's going to be a tough, tough go for us.
Stacey King with us here. Drive Guys coming to you from the Golden One. Stacey, a couple weeks ago when the Spurs were here, we talked to Sean Elliott. Of course, he, like you, was he came out in that 1989 draft. The Kings had the first pick in that draft. They went Purvis Ellison. So my obvious question, I know you've addressed this. Did you think at any point that you were going to be coming to Sacramento in that draft?
I really wanted to come here. I came out on my visit, and, you know, Wayman Tisdale, the late, great Wayman Tisdale, former Oklahoma Sooner All-American, the best player in Oklahoma basketball history, was out here. And I really wanted to come out here. I came out on my visit, you know, visit Jerry Reynolds. And, you know, you had the late, great Bill Russell was the coach at the time when I came out. Mm. And I thought I was going to be out here. I really wanted to play out here. And I was really disappointed. I knew I was going to go 1-6. I wasn't going to go anywhere in between, because I think those positions were already set for what the teams needed. So it was either going to be 1 or 6. To Sacramento or Chicago. And then when I heard my agent told me they were going to go with Purvis Ellison, I was disappointed, really disappointed. And, you know, but I wasn't – that disappointment didn't last long, because I ended up playing with the greatest player of all time and winning 3 championships and getting to many playoff battles. And it opened up so many doors for me. But, you know, there's always that, guys, there's always that question, what could have been, you know, what would have been, what could I have accomplished if I would have came straight with the momentum out of college, you know, being a college player of the year, All-American, and the way I scored the basketball in college to come to a team that needed scoring, you know, what my numbers would have been. I probably would average 20-plus points a game here, but I probably would not have won. I probably wouldn't have had an opportunity to play for a championship. Because you can see Sacramento, you know, has had some ups and downs. You know, this is a great place. The fan base, this has always been one of my favorite cities to play in, because even when they weren't good, the fan base was awesome. And that's one thing I always said about Sacramento, is that their fan base are true fans, and I really, really like that. And so to not get to play here kind of stunk, because it's California too, and kind of stunk, but I had to go deal with the winners in Chicago. But there's a trade-off when you win the championships and playing with the greatest.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, man. 3-time NBA champ Stacey King joining us here on The Drive, guys. Stacey, you know, to your point, I look at a guy like Chris Duarte on our team, you know, and he's being asked to defend. But he came into the league as a bucket getter.
Yeah.
How often do you think guys have to sacrifice their offense to fit in with the team and to get on the floor?
Well, it's very prevalent when you're talking about teams that are contenders, teams that are playoff caliber teams. You know, if he's playing on a team that's not winning, he's going to be asked to do the things that he's comfortable doing. They're going to need him to score. But when you're trying to build a championship team, you need pieces. Okay. Everybody can't score. Everybody can't be the man. You know, everybody has the pecking order. You know, you got to know who your number one guy is and who your number 10 or 12 guy is. everyone has a role. And that's one of the biggest things. When I came from college, you know, averaging almost 30 points a game, being told before I even touched the court that I wasn't being drafted to score. I was drafted to play defense, rebound, and block shots, and run the floor. That's what they brought me there. And the first thing I said was, well, why the hell did you draft me? You know, because – but in order for I was a piece to a championship-caliber team that was aspiring to be a championship team. So I was a piece of a puzzle, both me and B.J. Armstrong. So we had to find our niche to help them win a championship. And it's hard on young players, especially because, you know, Chris Duarte, I liked him. I liked him in Indiana. I thought he's a big guard, can do a lot of different things. And I think right now for him on this team, they need him to be the defensive stopper. They need him to be able to go in there and guard one or two different positions. And then there's going to be a time where they're going to need him to score. You know, there's going to be a time where he may hit a couple of baskets along with his great defense that keeps him on the floor. So he's just got to continue to work, continue to, you know, put in the time and effort. And don't forget that you were a scorer once. I mean, think about all the players that have come in this league. People don't remember Marcus Smart was a scorer at Oklahoma State. You know, people don't remember Dennis Rodman was a scorer at Southeast Oklahoma before he came into the pros. So a lot of times people have to make sacrifices in their game in order for the team to be, you know, to prosper. And that's the situation Chris Duarte's in. But I like his game, and I think there's a lot of teams out there that, you know, understand what he's doing and what he brings to the table, and they appreciate it.
Stacey King with us. And Stacey, I don't know you like Drapes does, so I hope you don't mind me asking this question, but actually Drapes and I were wondering about this. How come you're not touring with some of those other former Bulls, Luke Longley and Horace Grant, going around bad-mouthing MJ?
Well, first of all, I mean, they're not bad-mouthing them, because somebody misquoted that. The Bleacher Report, whatever, you know, misquoted them. They're going on this tour, and it's you know, they got a big following because Luke's from Australia, and they got a huge following. Sure. The Bulls are huge all over Europe. So they're able to go over there. And, you know, it's one of those things. They're cashing in on their success being on the Chicago Bulls. And so, you know, of course, everybody knows it's documented with Scotty and Michael, you know, having a tiff. But it's like brothers. You know, you fight sometimes, you know, you don't talk for a little bit. But at some point you come together and, you know, you realize, like, this is petty and let's put it all together. And I think they're moving towards that. From what I know about the tour, they didn't say anything bad about MJ or any of their time there. Okay. You know, it was all positive. And, you know how social media is now, it's clickbait. You know, anytime somebody puts something out and they can't substantiate it, everybody starts reading into it and go, oh, my God, they're still talking about Michael, you know, and that wasn't the case.
Gotcha.
Don't believe what's on social media, baby. Don't believe it.
Hey, man, like you said, clickbait, man. And the problem is you got all these aggregators, too. Like, one person puts it out, then everybody and their mom want to retweet, rewrite it, and all this, and then it blows up.
Yes, exactly. The narrative changes.
Let me ask you. Yeah. Let me ask you this, though. Coming from Oklahoma, joining Chicago, Michael Jordan, what was that transition like? What was your welcome to the NBA moment from Mike?
Well, I met Michael when I got drafted. He flew a bunch of the top college players down to North Carolina, Charlotte, to open up one of his Jumpman stores. So that was my first time meeting Michael. I mean, just like any kid, you know, we idolized MJ because he just came through the NBA like a Halley's Comet. And, you know, I had posters on my wall of MJ, and, you know, we were just, you know, we had Harvey Grant that was on my team that was, you know, his twin Horace, which was my teammate. I was teammate with both Grants, was playing in Chicago. So we had a chance to get inside information about what kind of player Michael is, what kind of person he is. So I knew a lot about Michael before I even met him. And, you know, I will say this about Michael, you know, just like any perfectionist, any superstar caliber or super talented person, they expect, you know, greatness. You know, they want you to have the same mentality that they have, and they're going to push you. They're going to, you know, Kobe was the same way. They're going to challenge you to be great. And if you don't have the same mindset and you don't have the same mentality that they have, you're not going to be in their inner circle. You're not going to be on their team long. And it could be overwhelming for some people, and you got to be strong mentally. I grew up in a military household, so anything MJ brought to me didn't bother me. You know, my dad was a drill sergeant. So, and I played for a high school coach. It was a Marine. So nothing he could ever do to me could upset me. So, but Stacey his competitive King. Nature, yeah. his competitive nature yeah. rubs off on everybody. You know, was he always the greatest teammate? No, but you know, one thing I will say about Michael Jordan, when it was game time, he came to play every single night. There was no nights off. There was no load management. There was no, I'm taking the night off tonight because my toenail hurts, you know, or, you know, my dog ate my homework. There's no excuses. Right. It was, I mean, he understood what it meant to show up every night, chasing titles, you know, trying to beat the Celtics and the Pistons, but also understood the fans. You know, the fans deserve, you know, you might not be able to see Michael Jordan and be able to afford tickets in Chicago, but the one time you get a chance to see him, you know, he sits out and he's eating hot dogs or popcorn on the sideline, and that might be the only time you ever see him. He understood that, even in preseason. He didn't sit out preseason games. So that's the one thing I always say about MJ. Right. You can say whatever you want to about him, but the guy brought it every night, every day in practice.
Stacey, the producer is like, Kyle, you got to go to break. I'm going to let you off the hook because I was going to ask you Jordan or LeBron. I was going to say Jordan.
Oh, Jordan, right, you gotta got to ask
me twice. No, hold up, Stace. Let me get the question. LeBron just dropped 40,000 points on the league, big dog. What's it going to take for him to, you know, over-surpass Michael Jordan?
Listen, he came in as an 18-year-old, so he's got about 3 years of extra time on MJ. MJ went to go play baseball, chase curveballs. MJ could have easily probably got 40,000. So, and in this league, too, if MJ was MJ and Kobe were playing this league, I guarantee you that number would have been chased by those guys. But listen, wow. I'm not going to discredit anything LeBron James and his generation is going to go down as the greatest player in his generation. But the greatest player in any generation, there's going to be arguments from people that play with Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell, Oscar Robertson, Kareem. But in my generation is Michael Jordan, and I consider him the best of all time.
Stacey, thanks for your time. We appreciate it. Have a great call tonight. When we come back, what happened at the Kings team meeting and who called it? Next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Thanks for being with us. Just had a really interesting conversation with Stacey King, former Chicago Bull, a guy who thought he might be drafted by the Kings with the first pick in 1989. Drapes, I want to ask you the same question you asked him. Now that LeBron hit the 40,000 point mark on Saturday, so how do you answer the question, who's better, Jordan or LeBron?
To me, I have been on record as saying this, and I will say it one more time, LeBron James.
I just don't know how you run out of arguments to make right. as he continues to amass these incredible numbers on top of everything else.
The only argument Jordan has against LeBron is 6-4. And maybe you could say all defense. Outside of that, LeBron blows Jordan. Points.
Yeah.
Assist. Finals appearances. You know, Jordan has the 6 MVPs. LeBron has 4. Like, to be not only the greatest scorer in the NBA and but also to be top 5 in assists too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about that. Like,
yeah.
That is just – and so if I'm drafting a team right now and those guys are in there, give me LeBron James.
There's an inevitability to it, and I think that's one reason why MJ decided to produce The Last Dance. I think he saw it coming. He's like, man
I got to remind people.
Yeah, this guy keeps coming, and I haven't played in so long. Yeah. I got to show everybody what I did.
Like, I would love to hear the argument for Jordan outside of 6-4. Give me something else.
Well, Stacey King gave us a little bit of it, which was if Jordan were playing now, he would have 40.
We don't know. Yeah. We don't know. If LeBron was playing then, we haven't seen the size, the ability, the handles. You know what I mean? Like
40,000, you know, 20,000, like, wow, that's a great career.
And he had two Hall of Fame careers, basically.
Yeah.
Because once you hit 20,000, you're knocking on the door for the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And he's still going. I mean, what, 19 All-NBAs? Like, think about this, right? Like, it's going to be 20 probably this year.
Right,
being an All-NBA performer every year but your rookie year.
Yeah.
That's just – it's – I just give it to LeBron. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's
obviously. We've seen both in their prime. It's not like we're, you know, some 16-year-old. Oh, it's LeBron. We've actually seen both.
There's different ways to answer it, and one of the ways I find myself looking at it now is how are fans in the future going to look at this?
Yes.
And that's why I say when you look at the volume of work that LeBron has amassed and how incredibly impressive it is, and unparalleled. It's like, I don't know how in the future anyone could say, yeah, but that Jordan guy, woo, you know?
Right. Like
anyone who saw him, I understand it, but in the future, I don't know how anyone is going to be able to make that argument.
And I understand Jordan was a rock star when those Bulls
it's
different nowadays, but like LeBron, what he's doing, like, I don't think we really appreciate how great this guy has been. And to me, longevity is part of it. You have to include that, you know, being able to play 21 seasons at an insanely high level to avoid major catastrophic injury. You know, I mean, it's truly tremendous what he's doing, right?
You know, what's really interesting about Michael, and Stacey King said, Michael never engaged in load management.
Yeah.
I read a book about Michael's last 2 years with the Wizards. Yeah. And, you know, he was pretty good still.
Yeah.
And people around the Wizards said if he had managed the load, because his knees were starting to go, if he had taken some days off, he might have been able to play a little longer.
Right. Now,
because he was, I'm Michael Jordan, I'm playing every night, and his knees started giving out, and he just he broke down.
And that's the question, you know, that should be raised. If you could have your star players for 18 years instead of 15, would you sacrifice some load management, take off some games here and there? We criticize these guys for load management, but yet we get to watch them longer than, you know, past generations.
By the way, I remember Kareem when he was still Lew Alcindor.
Yeah.
He was dominant in a way that very few people have ever been either.
Where do you have Kareem at? Should he be in that
He's
conversation?
He's right up there, but it's so long ago, and there's not video or film that much. He's never going to win that argument, but to me, he should be up there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm a big Kareem fan. I think Wilt should be up there also. You know, nobody talks about Wilt, and I maintain if you trade Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain, if Wilt was on those Celtics teams, they'd win championships
too.
They might
have won more.
Yeah, they might have won, you know. And so I'm with you on that.
Yeah, and how about LeBron getting to 40,000 on the anniversary of Wilt scoring?
Yeah, how about that?
That was pretty cool.
How about that?
Yep. When we come back, did the Kings impress you in Minnesota? Turns out they did not impress the Minnesota Timberwolves, at least based on what the T-Wolves had to say. That and what really went down in that team meeting when we come back to the Golden 1 Center. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports. Subscribe.